Okay. So we left off. We're in the middle of discussing the Shita of Rabbi Shimon, who says, remember, we asked when is the Baal lose Peros? According to the Chachamim, if you're Rabbi Yochanan, Mishas Messina, that doesn't need any explanation. When she's divorced, then the Baal stops getting Peros. That's the simple pshat. Rabbi Shimon has a Chiddush, came into Nasanina Lagarsha. So we asked, and so what if Nasanina Lagarsha? What does the Gemara mean? So why does he lose Peros? And we started to develop a Hakira about this. Is it just some sort of knas for the unfairness that he is betraying her, and he's still going to get the Peros, and maybe he's even, you know, trying to be sneaky and cop the Peros? Or is it something more fundamental in that there's really a hafkasa ishos, the way the Rav understood it. It really, not that they are totally divorced, it's only nasa'in of the garsha, but to a certain extent, they are, they are divorced. Someone pointed out to me very, very nicely that certainly the way the Rav looks at the difference between between Kiddushin and Nisuin, that a lot of Achronim see this differently, but the Rav understood that Kiddushin is about the formal kinyan between them, while Nisuin is more about the relationship. That's why Rav Chaim held you didn't need Ede Yichud for Nisuin, so it was more of a tzias and less of a formal process. So then it makes more sense that obviously the Kiddushin, which is the fact she also kulayam lehek kehektish, till she's divorced, she's still also kulayam lehektish. But some of the nafkaminas of Nisuin have to do with the relationship between them. Once that relationship's already compromised, it makes sense that even if it's compromised in a more informal way, those you can have a partial nullification of the Nisuin. I'm not going to put on the board what we had last time. I'll put it on a slightly different structure. We were asking, what's the nature of this Shitas Rabbi Shimon? Right? Kevan Shenasan Vichuli. What is the nature of this? Is this just a knas of some sort, a special knas of some sort, or is this a hafkas ishos? So is this a knas or a hafkas ishos? Obviously the mikzas, it's only nasid ein of the karsha. She's still married, she's still chayiv misa if she sleeps with someone else. And we said the basic way to tell the difference between this would be, do we expand this or not? Right? If it's just about peros, then likely it's some local knas because of a particular problem of payros. Right, we don't want this guy to start like copying everything when he's already decided to divorce her. If it's something we expand to many, many aspects of the relationship between them, and particularly if we expand it to aspects of the relationship between them that have nothing to do with taking advantage and making money, then it would make sense that it's really a hafkas ha'ishas. And we see this in a number of ways. What did we already have on the board? We already had on the board the A and B of the Ikam and the Omar in the Rif. Let's just put this. So A, how about hafkana, right? Gimel chadashim. If it's a knas, then it should have nothing to do with the machlokes between Daf Yud Ches, Rav and Shmuel, about when you start counting the Gimel Chadashim from. And this is what the, basically, then for sure, the Rif would say, and I think this implies what he says, say, no. There's no connection between Peros and Havchana. No, those two machlokas have nothing to do with each other. One is about the odds that she is paternity, question of paternity, etc. The other is about it's chus to eat peros. Why did the Ikam and the Omar connect them? So here you could say, even if it's hafkasa ishos, that has nothing to do with hafkana. But as I could say, like the Ikam and the Omar, that, hafkana, Upeiros tluyim zeh bazeh, either they're both Mishas Nisina or they're both Mishas Ksiva. Why would that be? Because we understand the Sheet of Peros is not a Knas. The Sheet of Peros is saying that there's Avkasa Ishus. And then that would be the other way of understanding the Machlokas Rabbi Shmuel. That's why he said could say. You could say, no, the Machlokas Rabbi Shmuel is just a Machlokas of whether to be Gozer that it looks bad for a low plug to have two women in a Chatzar. In which case, it has nothing to do with Peros, but you could say no, like the Rav. The Machlokas Rabbi Shmuel is that everyone agrees you say a low plug when just Stam they didn't sleep together. Everyone agrees you allow them to start counting 3 months so they don't sleep together because their marriage is compromised. The question is their marriage compromised or not? And then, if you hold she loses payros, the marriage is compromised. If you hold she doesn't lose payros, the marriage is not compromised. That was the first thing we had on the board. The second thing we had on the board was on Pidyon. Right? Does he stopping obligated to be pode her? According to Shimon. At the moment of Nasa Einav Ligarsha. Here's where the Rif said, no chance, says the Rif. Hayav. Bepidyon Adshas Nasina. Of course that he doesn't stop lose his obligation to be poed at Hermesh Nasa Einav Ligarsha. Why would he make money for nothing in Lagarsha? That makes sense from perspective of Knas. From perspective of Kos Ishos, you could say, like the Ramban Veran Lidas Ha'ika Manda Omar. The Mishas Ksiva Potter Mi. He is potring Ponim Shastiv. Why should he make money for betraying her? It's clearly not as a knas, but if the point is that this Nasan Ilgarsha is already Mafkia the Ishos, then sometimes they can make him lose money, sometimes they can make him make money. The relationship between them has been compromised, and now they don't have the same obligations to propagate one another. We pointed out that according to the Orsameach.
You could say that.
Oh, Ramban Viran Lefi Perush. Or Sameach. The Kurdish of Sameach says, no, really, you could rescue, even say the Lovelace, you could rescue and say it's a Knas. The main point is, Chacham took the Peiros away from him because he's such a bad husband. But since the Pidyon is only Tuffle to the Peiros, as a technical side effect, once they took away his Peiros, he doesn't have to be Poda. We pointed out that's a big Kiddush because the common sense is not that Pidyon is a side effect of Peiros, but if anything, that Peiros would be a side effect of Pidyon. This is all what we said yesterday.
Well, it would be a knas doesn't mean that, we push away both sides. A knas suffers, not her.
Correct. So it's still bedochak. Okay, you're right. Meaning, basically, what do we see? This ikamanda amar, you know, the best way to understand this ikamanda amar is that he's taking the side of Zavkasa Ishus. Okay, that's the ikamanda amar. Of course, we don't even know who the ikamanda amar is. That's not such a strong basis yet.
Even his Zavkasa Ishus, then it could be one-sided. He's Mafkia the Ishus. She didn't do anything yet.
Okay, although, you know, you'd think Ishus has to be, transitive.
Well,
has to be two-sided.
The whole Tachanas Chachamim was to protect the woman.
Okay, well, here the Taina. Correct. Let's look at Yerusha. Here already the Rashban says, and I pointed out, if you look at Shofar Rami Grunberg, this was a big debate throughout the time of the Rishonei Ashkenaz as to what to do L'maisa. This came up often. Says the Rashban, we're not going to go over the story again, but the way he read the story of the man whose wife was allegedly unable to smell, although really she could smell, is that came and Shinasim Eino Ligarsha, since he decided to divorce her, therefore he lost his right of Yerusha. He extends it from Peiros to Yerusha. Now, there are many, many kashas that the Rishonim who disagree ask against the Rashban. Not all Rishonim disagree. Right? Like, for example, the Yamshav Shlomo's not a Rishon, but in the Shutmai Rami Rutenberg, the second Shutmai Rami Rutenberg agreed with the Rashban. And Lachor, that's the Maran himself, as opposed to all those other Dayanim who I'm not familiar with in the first one. We'll come back to that in a moment. So, says the Rashban, he loses Yerusha. And here, the Rishonim attacked the Rashban for at least three reasons. But one of the reasons that the Rishonim attacked the Rashbam is what the Rush says there. I didn't bring a Rush about Basra. But one of the things the Rush says there is Granted, Shuvim Peros. Where do you get the right to move from Peros to Yerusha? Peros is a Darabonan. Now, Peros is a Darabonan. So they're a Darabonan. They made this thing. They're not going to give it to you if you're a terrible person. Or, I mean, maybe not a terrible person, but at the very least a terrible husband. Maybe you're a nice person, and that's fine, but you shouldn't take advantage of it. You shouldn't get anything from this woman. But Yerusha is Doraisa. Now, the truth is, the big machlokes are shown, and whether we pass some machlokes in the Gemara, whether we pass in Tanah, whether we pass in Yerusha Baal's Doraisa or Rabbanan. But let's assume Yerusha Baal's Doraisa. They're not going to Mafkia the Doraisa of Yerusha Baal. That's ridiculous. Just because these nice Sibaras of fairness, that's good for the Kodesh Rabbanan. They need it, so they work it out. But they're not going to go against the Torah just because the nice Sibaras. You know, in the Torah, a lot of Yerusha is unfair. A lot of things are unfair in the Torah. Let's say a guy, he's such a terrible person, he shoots his father and kills him. He's still Yorish! What was it, son of Sam law or whatever, in Halacha. Okay, sometimes it's not fair. So he objects, and likewise, these Dayanim in the first Shut Merami Rutenberg, I think also say, he says the same thing. Man Yerusha Etzel Peros, and the Peros will take me low, obviously Eva. I fit Peros, since he hates her, they weren't attacking, he should get Peros. That makes sense. Like, again, they don't use the word knas. That's why I'm like knas. Since he hates her, why should he eat her Peros? But Mirsha Eero Mikra Kamal Zigarsha. But they're still related. Right? She'ero is the mucker in the Torah for Yishabal. So the Rush and these many Dayanim, whose names I don't remember, but they're all very big Talmid Chachamim, right? I didn't write here who said it first, but Reb or Shmuel or Moshe or Yoel and Yeshua or Rav Rechavya, all agree with him. Oh, here it is. Lo Mishaneh. Shneer or Kolonimus. Okay, so what happened here? Here says the Rush and the Dayanim in the Shut Maharam. They say, no, you can't extend from Peros Derabbanan to Yerusha Deoraisa, which makes a lot of sense. If you're talking about a Knas, yeah, Heimamru Veheimamru, when they give the Baal Zechuyos, they only want to give the Baal Zechuyos if they think it would be fair and reasonable. The Torah is the Torah. The Torah says who's related to who. Why should we mess with that? The Rashbam did not explain himself at all. Right? The Rashbam, and the Maharami Rutenberg and many others agree with him, says the Rashbam, nope. Kevan shenasan v'chulu shav eino yorsha. Why wouldn't he inherit? So you could understand the Rashbam in different ways. You could say for the Rashbam, Yerusha is also a knas. Why do you make a knas in Yerusha if it's in the Torah? Maybe the Rashbam holds, I don't know, I can't remember the Rashbam saying anything anywhere else. Maybe the Rashbam holds Yerusha v'al d'rabbanan. It is a machlokes. Or maybe holds they can make a knas and take away your rights in the Torah also. Maybe you could say the Rashbam is a knas. Right? Maybe. Ulai yesh lomar disvaris Rashbam mishon knas. That's not the way the Achron understood the Rashbam. The pashas in the Rashbam is he took this kevan shenasa in l'garsha shoving l'peros and said, hey, he took this kevan shenasa in l'garsha shoving l'peros and said, this is not a particular knas about payrolls. They're not going to start going to every bank account that has interest in every field that grows wheat and making a knas on it. No, it's that there's a fundamental statement here that Kevin Shasa Eno Begarsha, the Ishus is compromised. They no longer have a full marital relationship, and the Nisuin is nullified. And therefore, which is the Rav's understanding, right? I put this on the board last time. And therefore, just like he loses Peros, he loses Yerusha. Meaning he loses all his rights, right? He loses all his rights. He loses Peros, he loses Yerusha. Minastam, he would say, he loses Maisiyah there as well. You know, he hasn't talked about it. Meaning, it's often not such a big deal, you know, in one day or whatever. You know, Yerusha, by then, it's $1 million. I see that. Okay, there aren't big court cases about because it's just a few dollars here and there. Now, what's interesting is...
You still don't have to agree with the Rav, because it's still been the Takana Kendo, right? So
I mean, it doesn't have to be Hakath Isus Min HaTorah.
The Rav didn't say it's Min HaTorah. The Rav didn't say it's Min HaTorah. Hefker is an Hefker. Could only be Midrabanan this Hakath Isus. Okay, now, here, what does the Yamshel Shlomo do? The Yamshel Shlomo takes it a step further. This is where we left off. And says the Yamshel Shlomo, now here you have to tease apart two different factors. In terms of Paskin and Halacha L'maisa, there's another factor in this Yamshel Shlomo, which could have to do with a lot of Halacha L'maisa cases, which is not the lumdus we're dealing with now. But, says the Yamshel Shlomo, what happens if the guy was going to divorce his wife? Well, you know, it takes a while to get through the bureaucracy of the Beis Din, etc. And meanwhile, she died. So the Rashbam is talking about, does he inherit her or not? The Yamshel Shlomo talks about, does he have to sit Shiva? Right? Does he have to sit Shiva? So, now, a lot of people would say that, interestingly, that, he hates her, why should he sit Shiva? Okay, what if I hate my brother? Right? What if someone hates his brother? Probably happens a lot. They still have to say, what if someone hates their father? They still have to sit Shiva. Meaning, you know, the simple shot is, of course he has to sit Shiva. They don't get along. People who don't get along, they'll have to sit Shiva. Maisim b'chol yom. The brothers haven't talked to each other for 80 years and hate each other's guts and are very, very happy that he's very, very happy that his brother finally died. He's been waiting so long. And nonetheless, he has to sit Shiva. The halacha doesn't take that into account. So says the Yamshel Shlomo, though, he says, but the Rashbam. The Rashbam says he loses his Yerusha. And why does he lose his Yerusha? Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And he says, because, what does the Rashbam say? Yerusha Baal D'Oraisa. Why is Yerusha Baal D'Oraisa? Because of which word in the Pasuk, Isaac? She'erah. So what does that prove? That she's no longer she'erah once he's not an Enel L'Garsha. Ah, how do we know the Baal sit Shiva for his wife? Right? We learn who you have to sit Shiva from the laws of Tumas Kohanim, right? The Rambam makes a big deal about this, but that's not our topic now. And what it says in Tumas Kohanim, it says six relatives in the Chumash, right? Father, mother, brother, sister, son, and daughter. We all know there are seven relatives. Where do we get the seventh relative? So, Kiyim L'She'ero HaKarov Elav, the wife is She'ero. At least the husband is also She'ero, but since the Kohen only has an extra tongue, he's a man, so it only deals with the wife. So he said, it's the same getter, either She'ero or it's not She'ero. This is clearly what he's saying is that we're not talking about a Knas here, we're talking about She'ero. Do they have a relationship of She'ero or do they not have a relationship of She'ero? Keep in mind, Erosin, there's no relationship of She'ero. There's no Yerusha and Erosin, there's no Tumas Kohen and Erosin, etc. Right? There's no Avelus and Erosin. Right? She'er, there's a certain relationship called She'er, which is a higher level than just Kiddushin, which corresponds with Nisuin generally. It says, no, you lost the She'er. You lost the She'er. and so says the, how about Avelos? Lechor, if we're talking about a Knas, then you'd say, of course, he has to sit Shiva for his wife. He decided to divorce her, it doesn't matter. They're still married. But, says the Yamshel Shlomo, and the Rishash says the same thing in the back on this Rashbam, in the back of the Gemara in Bava Basra, but the Yamshel Shlomo's a lot before him. He says, nope. Eino mis abel aleha mishom de eina nikres she'ero. She lost the status from She'er, that's saying. That's exactly what Kosh Ishii. You couldn't say it more clearly if you put it in flashing neon lights. She lost the status of She'er. Now, he throws in another sort also, which I will point out here, which is he says that, number one, my main sort is based on the Rashbam. The ode, he throws in an ode. Eich yalel das ha'adn la'vilo ma'she'en libo ovel ve'en yomar lefanav. When he dove him out, he went over the sun. Hacha yesh yesh. Lechalik od hasam acher de isle korv bega acher de isle korv bega. If the sun come back, I'm sorry, but nechu rach mo shaykh be vels mir salev. Okay, I got the kliam mo de khashul be libe kilo azlami. Nay, ben kar vels mir halev. He ne tamal. Okay. So he says in the end, he parted the guy from Avelos. And everyone yelled at him for it. Everyone said, what are you, a reform rabbi? Orthodox Judaism goes by the technical status. Technically, they're married. Don't say, well, since they don't feel married, you know, that's not Orthodox. So he was very nervous. He sent a letter to Ziknei Yerushalayim to see if they agreed with him. And one of the Ziknei Yerushalayim wrote back that he agreed with him, so he felt confident. Okay, what's the ode? I want to throw out the ode that's not our inyan now. You could say, even if there's no hafkas ishus, there's still a Torah velos. For a side reason. What does he say? He says, because he's not sad. Avelos only if you're sad. And he's not sad. Oh, he asks, if someone's brother dies and they're not sad. So what does he say? He says, there's a difference, which he doesn't explain. He says, no, because, you know, blood is thicker than water. Yeah. Ultimately, when someone's brother died, even if he fought with him and hasn't talked to him and hated him for the last 60 years, nichmu rachamav, if flesh and blood is still flesh and blood, when he, you know, until he died, you want to kill him. After he died, now you already start feeling bad. But a wife, which is not flesh and blood, now once you decided to divorce her, then you don't feel bad at all. Okay, that's an assumption. Meaning, I don't know, I know a lot of people who hate their siblings, so I have to check with them after their siblings died. You know, how did they feel? The Amshul Shlomo would say, nah, if you hate your wife, after your wife dies, you don't feel bad. Okay, your brother, after your brother dies, you still feel bad. It's like you grew up together. Okay, could be. Possible psychological assumption. But you could say this other svara of the Yom Shel Shlomo, ve'ulai yesh liftor mitzad acher she'ein libo.
What's his lashon?
Ein libo, ein yomar lefun of ein libo avel. Ein libo avel. Okay, but that is a question of to what extent do we take into account subjectivity in avelos, and that's a chiddush of his. It's a chiddush of his that we take into account subjectivity. And then you have to ask, what about the brother you hate? And you say, oh, you really love him after he dies. Okay, that's an assumption. By the way, this does come up a lot nowadays. Sometimes you have people with protracted divorce proceedings, and or a situation like Guna, etc. And then one of the spouses dies. It takes long enough. The odds are sometimes one of the spouses will die. So then you really get into this Yom Shel Shlomo. Do you say, Kevin Shanasav, Ein of the Garsha, you know, there's no longer a velus like the Yom Shel Shlomo? And what exactly? Every situation is a little different. What is called Nasan Ein of the Garsha? What if she wanted a divorce and he didn't? What if he wanted a divorce and she didn't? In the time of the Gemara, when the husband decides to divorce, he could divorce while Carla. Okay, you get into a lot of questions. Yeah. What about the fact they hated each other, etc. But lemaisa, halacha lemaisa, sometimes, you know, I mean, what do you do in these cases? You know, they split up 10 years ago, the husband's been mocking the wife, and then he dies. The wife's really going to sit shiva for him. So you rely on this Yom Shel Shlomo. Yes?
What cases you have now, these amicable divorces? They stay friends. I mean, there's two sides to it also.
Okay. Although, okay, fair enough. But I would say, you know, that's friends. That's not the same level. I'm friends with a lot of people. But
yeah, but they still have a connection.
Yeah. Okay, it's Turkey. Anyway.
The Rav Shita was that there's a difference between the Maisa Avelus and the Kiyum Avelus. The same as he does with Simcha. And so there it would be easy to understand the answer slow-mo.
Fair enough. You're right. You're absolutely right. Good point. Okay, now, let me just point out for a moment that there are, I pointed out there are three reasons. I think the Rush has three reasons he disagrees with the Shreshvan. One of his reasons is, the Rush has three objections. One objection we just mentioned, which is you can't learn from Peiros to Yerusha. Because Yerusha is the right side, and you couldn't put a Knas in a Yerusha. The second objection that Rush had, which Tosos also had, was says the Rashash in the back. and the Yam Shel Shlomo. They said Mishum Hafka'as Geder She'er. That was the story of the Rashban. Okay. Now, the second objection that the Rush had was, hold on a second. This is all based on Shitas Rabbi Shimon. This is all based on Shitas Rabbi Shimon. It's only Rabbi Shimon who said, Kevin Shinasav Eina Lagarsha Shuv Ein La Pekos. We don't hold like Rabbi Shimon. We hold like the Chachamim. This whole Chakir is in a Shita we don't paskin like. So if this whole Chakir is in a Shita we don't paskin like, then what good does that do anyone? Right? Yeah. That's the second objection. Right? Again, I'm saying it a little different than his Lashon. Right? Lo Kaimalan Kibrav Shimon. Toso seems to also say this. Toso says a random Lashon. So we don't hold like Rabbi Shimon. So what are you giving me these nafkaminas? Meaning, you want to make a Chakir and Rabbi Shimon, it's nice. You can't paskin off one side of Chakir and Rabbi Shimon if we don't hold like Rabbi Shimon. That's just for Torah Lishma. But nonetheless, the Rashbam paskins like them. We're paskin like them. The Yam Shel Shlomo paskin like that. So the Yam Shel Shlomo had a way of getting out of it. He said, I only paskin like this in Avelos. What rule do we have for Avelos? So even though we don't paskin like Rav Shimon, I have the right to paskin like him in Avelos. Okay, that's fair. I mean, he brought it down to Yochanan and Reish Lakish, but without getting into that yet. So, therefore, the Yam Shel Shlomo says, maybe, right, how about Lefi Chachamim, can we say this Lamdus? Can we say this Lamdus not according to Rav Shimon? So here the Rush said that don't be ridiculous. It's a nice Chakir in Rav Shimon. First of all, he says you're wrong in Rabbi Shimon. Can't extrapolate from Peros to Yerusha. And second, we don't hold like Rav Shimon anyway. So if you're wrong in that sheet, we don't hold like the sheet anyway. So you're legitimately crazy. Okay, says the Yam Shel Shlomo, no. In Avelos, or Halacha D'Remikel Ba'Avel, he says, Halacha Kedivre Hamekel. The Avel, right? And therefore, we can possibly like Rav Shimon and Avelos. However, that's not explaining the Rashban, right? So, it's not clearly saying we pass like Rashban and Avelos, we pass like Rish Lakish and Avelos, we pass like Rav Shimon and Avelos. Basically, we can pass like a Shita, we don't pass like in Avelos. But, how about the Rashban? What was the Rashban doing? That was Dini Mamanos. There's no rule that we pass like a Shita, we don't pass like in Dini Mamanos. So, what was the Rashban thinking? So, already the Marami Rubenberg explains the svara of the Rashban and says, we don't necessarily paskin. That's even better. Lefi Chachamim, Lefi Rab Yochanan. Can we still say the Lamdus? It says it's only Mishas Nesina, not Mishas Nesina, Sein of the Garsha. So even though there's Machlokes, Mikomach Bahai Shavin Sheinu Yorsha. Everyone agrees to Chachamim admit to Rav Shimon, Rav Yochanan admits to Reish Lakish that when it comes to Yerusha, we accept the Lamdas even if we don't accept it for Peros. So here, says the Shut Maharam, Kule Alma Modim to this Lamdas. L'inyan Yerusha. Why would everyone admit to this longness for Yerusha if everyone doesn't admit to this longness L'inyan Peros? So the answer would be because Peros is exactly the opposite of the Russian first objection. The Russian says Peros is a technical drabana, financial matter, but Yerusha is the rice of She'er. He would say, correct, it's sounds good at first, but if you think about it deeply, no. Peros is a contractual obligation. You know what? Contractual obligations are not abrogated until you write and sign and deliver a contract nullifying it. But Yerusha is about the relationship. It's about She'er. Yerusha is not a contractual obligation. Yerusha is about closeness. She'er. even though we don't pass like Rosh Shimon, that we abrogate the contractual financial obligations when you're Nasa in Ligarsha, we do admit that it ruins the relationship, and you're no longer share. What's the Svara? The Svara is that we hold that Nesinas Einav Ligarsha is not Mafkia Chiyuve Mamon. Nah, Chiyuve Mamon are business. Business is business. But it is Mafkia the relationship called She'er. Your chair literally means flesh and blood, right? You're no longer flesh and blood. You're no longer V'hayu L'vasar Echad. It could be that you still have contractual obligations one to the other one. Pidyon and, you know, Pidyon and Peros, these are all about women in society and men in society and, you know, how to make sure that everyone gets what they need. These are economics. Kimshin and Lagarsha, the Chacham will say to Rav Shimon, we don't ruin the economics. Look, Lamaisa, what do they say? Nasa in Lagarsha. What if she gets kidnapped by a bunch of Goyim? Shouldn't someone redeem the damsel in distress? Yes. And isn't there technically someone who still has money available to put to that purpose? Yes. And shouldn't he get some interest in order to pay him for the risk of having to spend a lot of money to redeem her? Yes. So I'm going to say, Rav Shimon, I know it abrogated the relationship, but it didn't abrogate the economics of making sure that everyone gets what they need. Why did the Chazal make takna these economics? Not to, for them to have a closer relationship, so that women won't be lost to the goyim when they're kidnapped, because women don't have their own money. Therefore, they were takna and pinyon. And he should get an insurance payment for the insurance policy he's giving her pinyon, so they were takna and payros. That's not mufka, but share. The fact they have a relationship between them, the fact that they're close. Of course, they're not close anymore.
Isn't that exactly against what the difference the Rav made? Because he was saying what you sort of lose is the suing, which is all the contractual relationships. But
that's what I said at the beginning of the shiur, that you have to look at the Rav's from his grandfather's view of Nisuin and not other Akronim's view of Nisuin. Many Akronim's view of Nisuin is, what's Nisuin? Nisuin is when you do all the money contract stuff, because Erisin is just about the relationship of Kuli Alma Hektish. Erisin is about the Hektish, and Nisuin is about the money stuff. The Rav understood Ligamrei Lehefech. I understand the money stuff comes out of Nisuin, but the Rav understood that Erisin was about a contract, Nisuin was about a relationship. And that's, to repeat, why the Rav held, it's not the Rav, his grandfather held, that you don't need Edim for the Yichud room. Because Nisuin doesn't need Edei Kiyum. Nisuin's not a chalos. Nisuin's a relationship. You don't need Edim for a relationship. You need Edim for a chalos. So, according to the Rav, this makes perfect sense. She'er is nifka. That's about the sort of chalos Nisuin. Yeah, there's also contracts involved in Nisuin, which are, those are not nifka. Okay, so it could be that it's not just Chakir and Rav Shimon, which is just Torah L'Shma. It's Chakir and Lididon, the Rashbam would say. That's what Rav Rukberg Paskin, Halacha L'Maisa. Even if we don't agree with Rav Shimon, maybe that's because we don't agree with Rav Shimon, because we still need to rescue damsels in distress. That's a societal need. You know, you guys have mazonos about this and that. Yeah. The mazonos, the Maisa, that's a societal need. After all, women have to eat. They usually don't make enough money to feed themselves. So therefore, someone has to feed her, and then he gets the money. Women have to redeem. They don't have enough money to redeem themselves in the bank, so they have to redeem, so he gets payros. The societal economic needs, those the Chacham say are not nifka, just because the relationship is compromised. But the relationship is nifka, and Yerusha is not a societal economic need. Yerusha is about the relationship. Davka, because Yerusha is Doraisa, it's easier to abrogate it than the Darabonans. Because the Darabonans are technical, tikkun olam economic needs. Why would you abrogate them? The Yerusha is about the Etzem She'er. It's about them being close. And if they're not close, they're not close. Let me just add one. Is there something else I wanted to add? Yes. The Rav would add one thing to this. And here the Rav's making a big chiddush. The Rav admits he is making a big chiddush to support himself. But, says the Rav, this is a chiddush of the Rav. Yeah. We know that when a man and woman get married, they are mutter to sleep with each other. Right? Specifically, if anyone ever paid attention under the chuppah, in the erusin they're not mutter to sleep with each other, but in the nisuin they are mutter to sleep with each other.
is a man allowed to sleep with his wife after nussing into Lagarsha, after he writes a get? First of all, even after nussing into Lagarsha, we don't find anything in the laws of marriage, but we do have in Nidarim that once the husband decides to divorce his wife, Negrush Salev, it's a severe mystical condemnation of the man sleeping with his wife. But let's stick to Maseches Gittin. Can he sleep with his wife after writing a get? What do we call that?
Get Yashan.
Now the Pasht, everyone agrees he can't sleep with his wife after writing a get. But the Pashut Pshat, why can't he sleep with his wife after writing a get? The Pashut Pshat is, it's not an Isser Bia. It's a technical problem. The technical problem is, when he wrote a get, he wrote the date of Shvat. Now, when he delivers it, he might deliver it later in Tammuz. If he sleeps with her in between, she might get pregnant. She'll give, she might get pregnant. She will give birth 5 months later, and she'll give birth 5 months later, and really the baby will be totally fine. But later on, people say, "What was the baby's birthday? When was your what was the baby's birthday? When were you divorced?" They'll look at the date on the get. They'll say, "Hey, you conceived this baby after you were divorced. This baby was born out of wedlock." They'll discriminate against the baby. Won't be a mamzer, meaning, you know, in halacha, it's not called a mamzer if you conceive out of wedlock. But the chash is shema yomer gita kodem levna, that the date on the get might be before she conceived, and people might discriminate against her child, and that would be very sad for the child that's born. And therefore, for a technical reason, what does Chazal say? Lo yigarish adam es ishto beget yashan. You cannot divorce with the get yashan, but v'di'evet, it's okay.
Aren't so, you also closest for legal get? By being boiled,
You're not allowed to ask that question until we get to the next year.
Okay.
So the simple pshat has nothing to do with anything. The Rav made a big chiddush. What was the Rav's chiddush? The Rav says, "Hold on a second. We never heard of this in all of Hilchos Gittin. The Chazal made a takana. Remember all the different Gittin Chazal made a takana. Any get Chazal said is pasul." What's the difference? The only difference. Pasul. Every get Chazal pasul is pasul v'lo tinasei v'chadchila. She can't use that get. The only question is, nisei teitzei, and nisei lo teitzei, havlad mamzer, ain't havlad mamzer. How bad it is, but everyone agrees. If the Rabbanan rejected a certain get, then she can't get remarried. There's only one exception, get yashan. Get yashan, he's not allowed to divorce the get yashan, but if he divorced, then she's allowed to remarry. It's totally kosher b'diavad. The only get in all Maseches Gittin, again, I'm not talking about if you go to Shulchan Aruch, maybe they're chomez achronim, don't divorce this get l'chatchila, but b'diavad it's okay as a hachrom, because, you know, 99 to 1 machlokas. I mean, the ikra did. I don't mean misafik. In Shulchan Aruch, there are lots of sfeikos. Since the 1% chance this get is possible, don't use it, but if you did, she can remarry. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about bevadai. The Chazal said bevadai, there's only one case they said, don't divorce this way, but if you did, it's perfectly okay. That's get yashan. Says the Rav, you know why? It is a big chiddush, the Rav, within the Shiti, says, because get yashan is not really a psul in the get. What's wrong with the get? There's nothing wrong with the get. The real psul is that there's an isser bia. It's an isser for the man to sleep with his wife after writing the get, because now they weren't fully married. It's a bias nus. And therefore, he has to tear up the get and start again in order to not have done a bias nus. That is a big chiddush of the Rav. I admit it's a big chiddush of the Rav. Here, big chiddush of the Rav, which is that the problem with get yashan is not a psul in the get. And why does he think that? Because if it's a psul in the get, she wouldn't be allowed to remarry. At least lo tinasei l'chatchila. But an iser of bia achar shenasan ein of l'garsha, and therefore nasan ein of l'garsha creates an iser bia. And the Rav would say that's even for us, right? What would the Rav say? That's no, kuli alma modim. That the the breakdown of the relationship creates an Isser Bia. This is, I admit, a tremendous Kiddush of the Rav. The simple shot is, yes, she can't sleep with his wife after writing a get, but not because the Bia is Usser, because the get will be problematic. It won't be possible, but it'll make the get bidyeved. So the simple shot is that there's no Isser Bia. Simple shot denies this. No, there's no Isser Bia after Ksivas Haget. Just so Lechatchila, which is a funny word, in the get, if there was Bia. It's not that the Bia is Usser, it's that the get is Usser if there was Bia, just because of this Xera. Okay, so the Rav makes a big Kiddush.
All these things, but especially this one. when we say that writing the get is indicative of not saying the Bala Garsha. We have a case where he puts it in his pocket for half a year, and he's still debating that he could just rip it up and everything goes on as normal. So how do you make an Isser Bia on something which just hasn't happened yet?
Uh-huh. Okay, so the Rav would say, Dwayne Gilson Lafre, if he ends up divorcing, that shows it was in seeing the same of the Garsha, there's an Isser Bia.
And if not, it's okay.
And if not, it's okay. Yes.
I just remember one thing Rav Lichtenstein said. I don't know how I remember it, but he just said, he once said that in Arusa, he was talking about in Arusa, he said in Arusa, he quoted the shoot of the Rashba, that in Arusa is asking me to write the Shum Eshet Ish to their husband.
I don't think it was a shoot of Rashba, I think it was a shoot Shita Yeshan and the Shita Mbetzes and Ksubas. Okay, but that's a very radical shita. We're not going to take that into account now.
I mean, that would be the same kind
of thing. Yes, okay, but that's very radical. We're not going to take that into account now. It's fascinating, but not for now. Okay, now, let me take this the next step. You noticed already, there's a third reason why you didn't notice. I hope you didn't even read the Rush. What's the third reason? And I hope you did read the Rush, but I hope you act now as if you didn't read the Rush. What's the third reason the Rosh rejects the Rashbam? First, he says, Rav Shimon only says he loses Peiros. Where do you get losing Yerusha? Second, he says, that's only according to Rav Shimon. Or Reish Lakish also admits, you know, that he says everyone agrees Mishas, what the Mishas Ksiva, which Tosas says Mimin Chasima. But we don't paskin that way. What's his third objection? What's wrong with the Rashbam? What's Mechudesh about the Rashbam? No, this is the Rashbam Shad and Nesua. This is the Rashbam, the second Shad and Nesua. What else is Mechudesh in the Rashbam? Number one, he extends our Gemara from Peiros to Yerusha. Number two, he paskins like this, even though it seems to be only Rav Shimon. Number three, what other way does he extend our Gemara to something which our Gemara doesn't say? Or at least is not Mefurish about? Is there some way he's much more Mechudesh than the Sheet of Rav Shimon and our Gemara?
Didn't we discuss that he's nosanenov and he didn't even write the get?
Exactly. Our Gemara is talking about nosanenov legarsha, meaning ksivas haget. Right? What does our Gemara mean by nosanenov legarsha? It means he wrote a get. But, or, according to some, she does, he signed a get. In Rashbam's case, he didn't even write a get. He was only literally nosanenov legarsha. He just thought. Right? That's a chiddush. Meaning, it's not a big chiddush. You know, he's taking the words literally. But says the Rashbam, no, our Gemara only means if you do a maisa of writing a get, not if you just don't think. So that's the third reason he objects, which is, no. that this din only applies if he wrote a get, not if he just thought. No, only if he wrote a get, not if he just thought. Okay, the Rashbam will say, well, he didn't just think. He also hid a radish in his pocket and brought him into a churba. But still, he didn't write a get. This, of course, makes us think of the very important question, which is when you read our Gemara already, you wonder. Rav Shimon says, Ksiva Saget, Ksiva, 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 Mishas Ksiva, right? What does our Gemara say? Our Gemara says, What's the nafkamina between Rosh Hashanah and Rabbanan? Period. Mishas ksiva ad shas chasima ika beinayhu. Mishas ksiva. Yud Zayin Revei says ksiva, ksiva, ksiva. All of a sudden, you chesam and aleph. What does Rosh Hashanah say? Nasan eno v'garsha. Nasan eno v'garsha really sounds like thinking, right? Nasan eno means he looked at her. He looked at her wrong, right? I mean, he thought, right? So is it thinking or is it writing? Already in our Gemara, internally, there's a tension. Is it thinking or is it writing? What is really the yesod here? Now, we understand why is there such a tension? Because normally, the husband, what do you mean thinking? A lot of people think a lot of thoughts, right? Meaning, if every time a bad thought crosses your mind, you take that very seriously and feel guilty about it, then you will have psychological problems. Right? A lot of thoughts cross a lot of people's minds, and that's okay. We just put them out of our minds. So the fact that even sometimes couples like to fight, I do not recommend this in any way, shape, or form, and they start threatening to divorce. It's a very, very bad idea. But nonetheless, if someone did it, you wouldn't necessarily mean that they're serious about divorcing. People say a lot of things, think a lot of things. When do we know someone's serious about thinking that they want to get divorced? When they write a get, they're serious about thinking they want to get divorced. So there's certain convergence, yes. In a normal case, if the husband really wants to get divorced, he would have a get written. Or at least, you know, the next business day, right? If he really didn't want to get divorced, he wouldn't have a get written. If he wrote a get, he wants to get divorced. If not, he doesn't. You would think that usually it goes together. But we ask ourselves, what is the real conceptual engine driving the shita? Is it really about ksivas haget, sort of the formal power of ksivas haget? Is it the formal power of ksivas haget, which is nicknamed nesinas einov legarsha? Or is it really about his inner state, which is just expressed through ksivas haget, but could be expressed in other ways as well? Right? So is it really about the inner feeling, the inner state? Or is it really about the formal power of ksivas haget? That is a valid chakira, which even if you didn't know any other lumdus, you would read our sugya and wonder. It starts with Yud Zayin Rebbeis mentions the word ksiva like four times. Yud Ches Rebbeis mentions Yishtinus Einu Lagarsha. You know, will the real yesod please stand up? Right? Is it really about ksiva as a halos ksiva and Yishtinus Einu Lagarsha is a cute phrase? Or is it really about Yishtinus Einu Lagarsha? It's really about his inner feelings. It's just that usually we can't tell his inner feelings unless he does something to show them to us, such as ksiva. Not only we, even he can't always tell his inner feelings, right? You have a lot of inchoate feelings that is very, very hard to identify and rely on unless you express them in some concrete way. So, yesh lachkor. So Rava does sound like he's saying that my interpretation of Rav Shimon is that it's not really ksiva. It's really seeing the same of the garsha. That's what I'm being mechadish you. Because before that, otherwise he hadn't said anything. Right? But you admit, one could also say that he was just using a flowery expression.
Say anything. In that sense, it's like Joel said about Avelus, that there's two, that Avelus is an outer expression of an inner state. Loves understanding of Avelus.
Okay, so let me. Okay, so okay, you're sure which side of the Chakir is true. Let us ask ourselves nonetheless, is it about ksiva, as in the formal ksiva, or the sort of existential state, the inner state, the psychological, right? Formal versus psychological are always good words to help us with Hakira. It's about the psychological and the das lagaresh, but of course, it's hard to put your finger on das lagaresh without doing something about it. Or is it, no, about the formal act called ksivas haget? And he points out, since Rava said something that we're not exactly sure what he's trying to say, if not for the fact that he's telling you don't be distracted by the formal and it's really psychological, that is the more attractive side of the Chakira. Obviously, the ayin and nafkamina is always going to be, what if you have one without the other? What if you have the other without one, right? So, what is the nafkamina going to be? One nafkamina is going to be the Rashban. What if there's some way we could tell he has a very concrete expressed das legaresh without writing a get? How do you have that? Again, just the guy gets mad and he says, I hate you and I want to divorce you. I don't know how seriously we take that, because people say all kinds of stupid things when they're mad. But when the guy takes a radish and hides it in his pocket and brings her to a chorba and does a test to see if he wants to divorce her or not, then we're going to take more seriously. Or nowadays, what would say, you file for divorce in Beis Din, etc. You know, you go to your lawyer. It's, I mean, even going to a lawyer is just thinking about things. At a certain stage when you sign with your lawyer, that we would say, okay, this is not just a stam angry feeling. This is already nasanin of lagarsha, right? I think it's clear. When you hire a lawyer, lechor, that's nasanin of lagarsha. Or when you pull this ridiculous Rashbam shtick, that's nasanin of lagarsha. So one nafkamina could be, how about deciding without, deciding without ksiva? Okay, this is totally not going to work. Eliezer.
The other way.
Oh, Chaim. Oh,
Gius.
Yeah. Chaim, can you use your professional skills for us?
Oh, yeah, sure. Are better than sunny days.
Yeah, I don't think we need that much rigor for this. Okay, so the so let's again the old psychological versus formal chakira, if ksiva versus Das Legarish. The first obvious nafkamina is what about, you know, concrete Das Legarish without ksiva? What about concrete Das Legarish without ksiva? And here is where the Rashbam and the Anshul Shlomo, each in their nafkamina, say, no. They're clearly on this side of the Chakira. Here we have the Rashbam and the Yamshel Shlomo, they say, nope. That's called Nesinas Ayin. And the Rush objects, and Tosos already objects right there in Bov Basra. What does Tosos say? He didn't say it so clearly. The Lushan is a little bit roundabout, but he says, what do you mean? That's only Ksiva, that's only Chasima. No one said Stam deciding. L'chora, that's the other side of the Chakira. Tosfos and the Rush in Bava Basra say, no, that doesn't count. Besides all the other objections, they say that doesn't count. Another interesting nafkamina could be, and we'll come back to that in a... Yes?
They still could be on the psychological. Until you actually write and get whatever you say, you still talk.
Correct. Okay. Right. Unless they are arguing about psychology. Meaning, even that guy in the story, maybe he wasn't really serious. Right? Okay. Could be. Now, the another case, of course, the two obvious nafkaminas are, what if you have A without B or B without A? Right? That's science 101. What if he wrote a get, but he didn't decide to divorce yet? Which Aaron mentioned earlier, what do we call that in our sugya? He wrote a get, but he hasn't decided to divorce. Right? What about the other case? What about ksiva without a decision to divorce? Right? And that's called kaseva osveva kise. Right? Yeah, he was thinking about it. So he wrote again in advance. Now, you could say maybe think about it, but he clearly hadn't decided to divorce. And fascinatingly, what does Tosfos say In the top of Yudches Amud Aleph, Tosfos says that Pirush Bekunches Mahu Ilochem Takanosam Bein Linus Nus Bein Linu Pirush the Tarfu Lekuchos V'Yom Haksiva. Says Rashi. In this case, even Reish Lakish, meaning Lachor, even Rav Shimon, let's call it, admits that you get Pirus until Shas Nesina. You don't lose the Pirus from Shas Ksiva if it's costing Osfei B'Kisei, because Ima Faisa Tifayas. He's still trying to make up. He's still looking for Shalom Bayis. He's just covering his basis. That is the Shita of Rashi. Give me half a second. Umihu, etc., etc. Etc., etc. And says the Ri, no. You lose Peiros Mishas Chasima. Again, for now, we're conflating Ksiva with Chasima. Here, what do we say here? Ksiva without decision to divorce, meaning Kasvei, the Osvei, the Kisei, says Rashi, in this case, he doesn't lose Peros. That makes perfect sense. If it's really about his das, his inner feelings, then even if you wrote again, it doesn't always prove you're planning to divorce. Sometimes it's just like a tactic, a threat, a covering your bases. He really wants to make up with her. Tifayis mefayis. He really wants her to apologize and make up with him. Just if she refuses to make up with him, then he'll have to get ready. And Rashi's clearly on Abe's side of the Chakira. It's about what you feel inside. Ksiva is usually a good litmus test, but not always. Sometimes you can feel it inside before you write the get, Rashbam. And sometimes you can write the get, but not feel it inside. Give me a second. The Re in Tosfos says nope. He says that Avad Peros mi Shas Chasima, even in this case, because he still wrote a get. Unless you want to say that, no, he says this is still called deciding to divorce inside. Because even if you decide to maybe divorce inside, right, so you could be Docha. You could say he's also psychological, right? Abe's going to say everyone's psychological. No, what were you going to say? The opposite. Whoa.
The issue isn't between psychological and foreign. Everybody agrees. What Rabbi is saying is that the what's mevatel the share is the inner feeling. But the inner feeling always has to be expressed in a maisa. The question is, what kind of a maisa expresses that inner feeling? Is it a ksiva, or can there be other possible masim that can that express the inner feeling, that are good enough to express the inner feeling to be mevatel share?
Okay. I think that is what I was accusing you of saying.
But then Beis is not relevant. Because writing a get when you don't have the inner feeling has absolutely no significance.
Aha. And then you have to hold like Rashi. Okay, so your three would be excluded from your preferred shot.
Why is he, if he's still debating, so why does he have to have the get in his pocket? So I thought because he really is open-minded. He has a hachamina, but he's really open. He could go either way. But he knows that whatever decision is made, he wants to do it right away. That, you know, he doesn't want to dilly-dally. So that's why he has it in his pocket. But he doesn't have any more inclination one way or the other, necessarily.
So you're thrashing.
Yeah, okay. But that's the way of explaining it. I'm saying,
Correct. But if you say it's a formal power of Ksivas Aget, then you understand how you would agree with the with the re. Now, I'll throw in one other nafkamina, which I think is going to be a little, I hope you'll agree with me. What about the following case, which comes up in the next Gemara? He writes a get, and like the bottom of an Alton base, he writes a get, and then changes his mind and decides to stay married, and then changes his mind and decides to get divorced, and gives her the get. From when does he lose Peros? Interesting question. He wrote the get and then she... Obviously, I think we all agree. I hope we all agree. If he wrote the get and then changed his mind and ripped up the get and lived happily ever after, he would never lose his papers. I think that has nothing to do with the Chakira. If you say it's a formal power of Ksivas Aget, but it's not called the Ksivas Aget if you rip it up afterwards. If you say it's a psychological decision to divorce, but he was about to that decision to divorce. But here's an interesting case. He, in January, he wrote a get deciding to divorce her. In February, he changed his mind and decided to make up. And in March, he decided to divorce her again and gave her the get. When does she lose payros? What?
You're assuming, according to those who showed
you. I am assuming, correct. Meaning the Rishonim I put on the sheet are only those Rishonim. So that's what we have to wait for the next year. Okay, so in that case, Rav Osai, what's the date? Does he lose payros mishas ksiva or not? So I think, you'll tell me if you disagree with my logic, that should be enough gemino. What about kasa bin Nisan? V'az nispayis? Vishav, Nimlach, okay. Nimlach, Vigiresh, Vitishrei. So what would you say in this case? So, I think I would analyze it this. If you say the formal power of Ksivas Aget, Lemaitse, there's a Ksivas Aget. Lemaitse, that Ksiva, in the end, created a Gerishin. If it was a formal paroxysm of the get, I would say, Avad Peros, Mi Nisan, Shahare Kasav Get, She, Girish Bolivasov. He wrote a get, and that get was just as good as any other get, because who cares how he felt meanwhile? He divorced in the end. But if you say it's about his feeling, then you can say, look, in Nisan, he had a feeling to divorce. But then he changed his mind and he felt like he wanted to stay married. Then he made a new feeling to divorce in Tishrei. Then you would think, Avad Peros, Mi Tishrei, Shaharei, Ad Tishrei, Ad Tishrei, until Tishrei, they were pious. They were happily married until Tishrei. Why didn't he rip up the get? No good reason. He just had it in his drawer. He didn't get around to ripping it up. Right? So, now I know you can make all kinds of plots. But what do the Rishonim say? The two Rishonim are put on the board. Most Rishonim don't discuss this case. Why? Because that's not their pshad in the Gemara and the bottom of the Yechesu and the top of the base. But the Ritva and the Rid, although the Ritva makes it a little complicated, both the Ritva and the Rid say Mishas Nesina. This is the Ritva and the Rid Likamon in the next sugya, in the bottom of Amun Aleph. That's the Shash. Why do they say this? The Gemara says that according to Rish Lakish, you can't write the get now. And you can't write the get now and sign it 10 days later, because we're afraid there might be pious in between. Okay, everyone wonders, what? Well, that's what we're going to have to deal with next year. What's the big deal if there's pious in between? Who does that hurt halachically? So the pshat of everyone else is all kinds of things. The pshat of the rich from the rid is, because if there's pious in between, then he doesn't lose pious b'shas ksiva anymore, because now he's close with her again. Now he's mended the relationship. And he only loses Paris Mishas Nesina, but the date is Mishas Ksiva. And therefore, there'll be a theft of Peros because she'll be mostly Paris Mishas Ksiva, but he really only deserves to lose the Mishas Nesina. So, but I think that if you took the other side of the haiku, if you looked at this formal Ksiva, then you would say, what do you mean? There was a Ksiva, that Ksiva ended up working, that Ksiva ended up being successful. Who cares how he felt in between? I very felt in between. There was a Ksiva Saget that in the end was a kosher get. And I think you would disagree with them. I don't have anyone on record who disagrees with them, because most Rishonim just don't discuss this case. Now, I want to just end. The Rav, between these two tzadim, the Rav held one of these two tzadim. I have two more things to say before I'm ready to start today's shiur. The Rav held like this tzad. Why? This was the tzad of the Rav. The Rav held it was a formal rule of ksiva. Why was it the formal rule of ksiva? There's the Rav Lashitase all over our Masechet, and we'll come back to him again and again and again before the end of the year. The Rav's biggest yesod in ksiva saget was that, even though we would think, right? Meaning, if we had no particular lumdish agenda, and you asked us, What is the, how would you characterize ksivas haget? What would we say? We would say ksivas haget is like ksivas tefillin, is like ksivas mezuzah, is like afias matzah. It is a hechsher. Ksivas haget is a preparatory stage preparing the items you need in order to do something called gerushin. I know ksivas haget has to be lishma. Alright, you have to write tefillin lishma. Why do you have to write tefillin lishma? Because in order to have the proper chefza you need for the mitzvah of nachas tefillin, it needs to be lishma. You have to write mezuzah lishma. To have the proper chefza you need for kviyas mezuzah, it needs to be lishma. Right? Meaning, yes, it's a fancy process. Yes, sometimes a hechsher is a fancy process. Some, you know, the tzitzis have to be tied lishma. The mitzvah is wearing them. Okay, so it doesn't have to be built lishma. Pashtus. Okay, so that's what we would have said. The Rav thinks about this very differently. Says the Rav, no. The Rav, this is basically a whole simon in Rav Schefter's sefer, that I put in the brackets here. That ksiva, the Rav's yisod is that ksiva saget is not a preparatory stage. It's not a hechsher. Ksiva saget is part of the gerushin. Sometimes there is a mitzvah that requires more than one stage. Right? That doesn't mean it's a hechsher. If you have to do multiple stages, that's not called a hechsher, right? If I bring a korban and I have to do shechita, kabbalah, holacha, and zrika, that doesn't mean the shechita and the kabbalah and the holacha are a hechsher. No, they're part of the mitzvah. But the mitzvah has different stages till it is complete, right? There's a difference between there's a hechsher and then there's a real chalos versus the chalos requires multiple steps. Says the Rav, this is not a hechsher and a chalos, this is a chalos with multiple steps. After all, what does it say? Don't give me tefillin. Tefillin says, "Ksharta lo'osal yodecha v'ahiyu l'toltafos be'enecha," in some form or another four times. Doesn't say anything about writing. We darshan writing tefillin. Mezuzahs, okay, mezuzahs is a little trickier. But let's stick with tefillin. But over here, what does it say? V'ayam losim tzachim be'enav ki matzva erbas davar. The kasab la sefer krisos v'nasan v'yada. He says, no. The ksiva and the nesina is the way you're megarish. You're not megarish with nesina. You're megarish with ksiva nesina. And again, what's the point of that? The point of that lechora is that the point of gerushin is to send a certain message from the husband to the wife. He is sending her a message of rejection. That's how gerushin works. Sending the message, when I write you a letter, you only get the letter if I put it in the mailbox. Okay, some of us are old enough to understand what I'm talking about.
Now we've been putting it in the mailbox.
You only get the letter if I put it in the mailbox. But putting it in the mailbox is not the way I'm communicating. I'm communicating by writing, and then I also have to send it to you. The writing is not a hechsher. The writing is what I have to say. If you understand that the nature of a get is the husband has to communicate something to his wife, then the ksiva is not merely a hechsher. The ksiva is part of the gerushin. And where do we see this in the Rav? We saw this in the Rav, in that Beis and Beis, by the question of two Edom and one Ed. How did the Rav explain? We saw this some sofer, I think, in the same explanation. What's the havamina that you only need one Ed to say the get was written lishma? If we all know you don't erev pasuk mishnayim, right? So the Rav explained, the havmin is in don't erev pasuk mishnayim. That's the actual chalos gerushin. But the background details, one eight is good enough. And then what's the maskana? The way the Rav, we said, you could read the maskana as, no, you need two eight different background details too. The way the Rav read the maskana, and remember we looked inside then, is that the writing of the get is not a background detail. The writing you get is part of the chalos, part of the ma'aseh gerushin. And you need two edim on the ma'aseh gerushin. And davka writing lashma is what makes it part of the ma'aseh gerushin. What does it mean that a get has to be written lashma? It's not a technical requirement. It has to be written lashma like matzah. It has to be baked lashma. The point of writing it lashma means you can't just write against stam. You have to write it as part of the gerushin. That's what lashma means. I'm not writing this stam. I'm writing this as part of ploni, divorcing, plonis, etc., etc. So the Rav understood that ksiva is part of the gerushin, and then he has many writers for this. For example,
yeah, because doesn't he call the writing gerushin the rabbanan? Remember that phrase in the Shurei Rav.
In the Shurei Rav here, what he says is this: he says, "Mida oraisa, the writing is part of the ma'aseh gerushin. It's only the rabbanan that it's mafkia part of the ishus. The halos gerushin is drabonim, but the main part of my gerushin is drabonim. I'll get back to this moment. The Rav has many rayos for this. We'll come back to all of them. He says, for example, why do you need, the Rambam says, you know, you can't write the get. It's not actually writing the shema before you marry someone. And we're talking about a trickster here. We're not talking about whether it's nice. We're talking about whether it's chal. If I write a get before I marry someone, it's not valid. Why not? Well, because of the, it's part of my gerushin. I can't have my gerushin if I'm not married. Why does the husband have to command the sofer to write the get? Why can't the sofer write the get on his own? The sofer can't write the get on his own lishma. We'll see, it's a big machlokus. If the sofer says, I'm writing this get lishma, lishane, ploni, and plonis, etc., etc., based on my inside information, he has a little bug in their house, he knows they're on the way to the vest, and he wants to save time, it's possible. Unless the Baal tells him to. Why? Because the whole point is the Baal has to do the writing. It's not enough for him to do the writing.
But that's Roshta. It has to be Das HaMizrayim.
No, all shars. No, all shars. So that's only about the
Basima. That's about going to Abelazar.
Okay, not so posh. Okay, the other issue is that you can't remember. We said you can't write the get or sign the get. I'm not distinguishing writing and signing yet. B'mchuber, you can't write or sign the get. B'mchuber, why? Because it can't be mechusar cutting before you give it. It has to be ready to give. Why does that have to be ready to give? Because it's all part of my zegerushin. It's not just a perfecter estate. I know there are other ways of explaining. All these things, obviously. But what does the Rav understand? The Rav understands the point of Ksiva Lishma. And you gotta say Ksiva Lishma, we're referring to Rav Yelazar. Obviously, with Rav Meir, you would say this about the Chasima. Is that Ksiva is part of the Gevershin. So what does the Rav say? The Rav says that Min HaTorah, Ksiva is part of the Maisa Gevershin. Not a Hechsher. And we'll come back to that again and again. Not a Hechsher. We'll come back to the end again. And therefore, the Rav says, Midrabanan, although I personally think the Maran would say even the Reisa. But the Rav only says Midrabanan. Midrabanan, just because you've done half the Maisa, doesn't mean you've created half the result, right? Often we do half the Maisa. Again, going back to Karbanos. I do Shchita, Kabbalah, Holach, without Zrika. I have 0% of the result. Half the Maisa doesn't create half the result. Usually half the Maisa creates 0% of the result. But midah araisa, half the maisa, creates no result. But midrabanan, half the maisa, creates half the result. And therefore, that's the way the Rav understood it, that midrabanan, since midah araisa, it's half a maisa gerushin, midrabanan creates half a halos gerushin. Therefore, midrabanan, it, ksiva, is mafkia, part of the Ishos, and you see, the Rabbanan were working off Yisod D'Oraisa. D'Oraisa is part of the Maisa. Midrabanan, they made a part, they gave it the power to accomplish part of the Halos. And what does the Rav tie into this? Give me 1 second. The idea of Reach HaGet. Okay, well, maybe we'll have time to get into is Reach HaGet D'Oraisa or Rabbanan, etc. What do we mean by Reach HaGet? Okay, Reach HaGet is complicated. What does Beis Shammai say? Or, Daf Mishnah says, Pei Aleph. Amud Aleph Kasav Legarish is Ishto Venimlach Beishame Yomar Psulim in a Kahuna. I know it's only Beishame. What does Beishame says? If he writes a get for his wife and then tears it up, she's now considered divorced. She can't marry a Kohen. Maybe Darabonan. Maybe it sounds like even Doraisa. What do we see from here? That writing makes her a Grusha. Obviously, she's not a full Grusha. But writing creates a halos of gerushin. And the Rav tied this in as well. That writing creates is really a halos of gerushin, right? After all, that makes sense. If you do part of the Maisa gerushin, then she is partially a grusha. That's one way of looking at it. However, there's another way of looking at it. That's the way the Rav looked at it. But the way Abe looks at it. And now, okay, fine. I said, Abe's the only one that doesn't let me do whatever I want. Okay. You should emulate him. Now, the way, the other option, right? What l'chora the Maharam Mirudenberg and the Yamshul Shlomo are saying here is that, no, it's not about the formal ksiva. If it's not the formal ksiva, then it's like the re. If you wrote it, even if you haven't decided yet, it still creates a partial afkasa ishus. And you would say, Tosafot Rashi Bavastra, if you decide it, but you didn't write anything, it doesn't nafkia the ishus. And you should say, if you wrote it and change your mind back, then it's still nafkia the ishus, because it was a valid ksiva that led to something. But what's the other option? The other option is saying, no, it's not about the ksiva. It's about, and here Abe had a very nice diuk. What is Rava saying? Rava's not saying anything. He's saying, what's the reason Rav Shimon? Came and Shinas and Ligarsh and Shomin Lopiros. We know Rav Shimon said she loses Piros. So what's Rava adding? Maybe what Rava's adding is that. Don't focus on the ksiva. That's just the simon. Focus on the nesinas eino begarsha, and that would be the Rashban. Sometimes you can be serious without ksiva, and that would be Rashi. Sometimes even with ksiva, you're not serious. And I think that would be the Tosus Rid and the Ritva who say, well, if you change your mind, now you don't want to divorce her anymore, now the ksiva is meaningless, even if the ksiva ended up divorcing her, right? The other option is, no, it's not about a formal process. Here we go back to the other Yisrael of the Rav, not the one he wrote here in his shiur here, but here you would say that, no, what it really means is that, is that the, and here you could take it in two ways, you could say the Geder of She'er Lefi Chachamim or Nisuin Lefi Reb Shimon, right? The Geder of She'er or Nisuin depends on the existential relationship. In general, the word existential never adds anything to a sense. It just makes it sound fancy. It's a clog juggle. Depends on the existential relationship between them and not... that was a joke. Really, what the word existential means is that you create your reality by how you live it, not by what is imposed on you by some outside force. And that's what I mean. How they live together creates the reality of their relationship, not any formal legal system. Depends on the existential relationship between them and Nesinas Ayin Legarsha is Mafkia, that relationship. Right? Two totally different ways of viewing, forget about Knas, even if Mafkia the relationship, is it a formal Mafkia the relationship like the Rav based on the Narais that you've formally done part of the process? Or is it no, an existential mafkia of the relationship? That you are no longer close. V'davak v'ishto b'hoi l'basar echad, you're no longer mudvak, and you're no longer basar echad, not because of any formal legal rule, because of the reality between the two of you, which, according to the Rav, the whole mahos of Nisuin, according to the Rav, the difference in Kiddush and Nisuin was whether it's a legal chalos or whether it's an existential reality. That was the Rav's Chiddush about the difference between Erusin and Nisuin. Okay, we're in a gazillion Raya's, but now is not the time. And therefore, maybe Mafkia the whole Nisuin, according to Rav Shimon. Okay, or according to the Chachamim, you're not Mafkia the whole Nisuin, you're not Mafkia Peros, but you're at least Mafkia those things that depend on She'er. Because She'er is about the existential relationship between them. She'er is literally Basar Echad. She'er really means Basar Echad. So, two very different ways of viewing Rav Shimon. Theoretically, if you wanted to be very fancy, but we don't have time for this, you could say, no, it's the sinas ein of the garish mamish, but it's a formal mafkia, because ultimately what gerishin is all about is expressing the husband's das in a certain way, and maybe the process formally started even when he has the das before he wrote it down. Okay, but that's so much of a chiddush, so I didn't say it. Now I want to end with one point. I only have 10 minutes, so I'm going to allow myself to say one more point. There's one point we didn't get to, and then we're ready to start today's shiur, if not for the clock.
Can I just say
yes.
Something
say something while I raise the board.
Okay. It seems to me that Rava's statement, this relationship with Shimon, is analogous to, basically goes back to a kind of distinction in certain mitzvahs. There's Kima Mitzvah and Maisa. Everybody agrees that you need a Maisa Mitzvah. The question is, what's the analog to Maisa Mitzvah here? Whether it's Ksiva or whether something else can function as the Maisa Mitzvah. That's the first remark. Second remark, with respect to Gimel. Three. Is it Gimel or three?
Three.
Three. Isn't that already included in the situation where a person decides to divorce his wife, writes a get, and then changes his mind? We agree in such a case, he's still going to get Paris. He doesn't lose the Paris, even though he wrote the get for the purpose of divorce.
No, because, okay, so here I have to add something. If he tore up the get and never used it, then that ksiva was formally meaningless. It's only a ksiva.
I suppose he didn't tear it, he put it in a drawer.
It doesn't matter. If he didn't give it, the ksiva is Igloin also afraid that it was not any formal value.
That's exactly what happens there. And that's why...
But in the end, he gives it.
Only when you give it. So that's
okay. All right.
And the third, one more remark. The third remark is, the Rav's Chiddush about ksiva.
Tell me on the Rambam.
Can that be implicit in the Rambam's opening to Hilchos Gerushin, the Tatsu of Ikrei HaGerushin? That basically all of the Ikrei HaGerushin are part of the Tavir of the...
It could very well be. It could very well be. I'm not sure if it's Mocher. Yes, I have to think about it. Then I have to think about it. Okay, let's remember, we started last year. No, you can't. You can at 1 o'clock. We started last year. I apologize. You'll forgive me. You're giving me an evil look. There are three shitas. Chachamim, Lefi Rab Yochanan, said Mishas Nesina, he loses payrolls. And that we said was... Pashat Mismara. Reb Shimon Lefi Reish Lakish said Mishas Ksiva. Ksiva, he loses payrolls. And that is what we've been talking about, right? That's what we've analyzed. There's one last shita, which is the Chachamim. Actually, this is a Reb Shimon Lefi everyone, right? Except for the funny round up here, Shemeshnais, Rav Shimon. Chachamim lefi Reish Lakish, say Mishas Chasima. We haven't analyzed that. Why Mishas Chasima? Meaning, Mishas Chasima is obvious, they're divorced. Mishas Ksiva, that's all Nasa Neil Garsha. We had a lot of Hakiras and we dealt with them. Wait a minute, where does Mishas Chasima come from? Here we have three shitas in the, three formulations in the Rishonim, why it would be Mishas Chasima. Where would this come from? One shita is the Meiri. The Meiri says, he holds from Nesinas Ein of Lagarish, but it's only called Nesinas Ein of Lagarish at Chasima. It's not serious until Chasima. So, what's the Smara? So, says the Meiri, that no, he holds that Lo Chashiv Nesinas Ein of Lagarisha Ad Shas Chasima. That's one shita. Second shita is Tosos in Yizayin Ben Aleph. Tosos deals with this at great length in Yizayin Ben Aleph. I can't read it inside now. What is Tosos saying? Tosos says they really agree with Rav Shimon, but have a technical Tikkun Olam problem. What's the technical Tikkun Olam problem?
Kol.
Is that they really agree he should lose the Piros Mishas Ksiva. There's a technical problem. It's not notorious. No one hears about it, Shas Ksiva. And if no one hears about it, then people will buy the payrolls from him, and he really won't have the payrolls to sell them, and then they'll lose their money, and she'll come take it away from them, and then it's not fair. So he says, Bi'ikaron. Bi'ikaron. Avad payrolls. Mishas Nesina. That's not what I meant. Mishas Ksiva. Meaning, Aval. Ein kol ad shas chasima v'chayshina. Whenever there's not a kol, there's a problem of seda delakuchos, and therefore we delay it till shas chasima. Basically, these two sheet of saying he's pretty much the same as Rabbi Shimon. Either they just argue what's called nesina zayin, writing or only signing. Maybe writing is a joke. Only signing is really serious. Or they argue about which really should depend on lesser or mayor. Kasav mean you write Lashma or you sign Lashma. Or maybe they're totally agree with Rav Shimon. It's just they have a technical problem say the Lukuchos, so they delete it. The Tosos Rid has a third approach, says the Tosos Rid. He says, no, but it's based on a totally different principle. This is a whole sugya in Bav Metzia, which we have not learned together, at least not in the past few years. There's a sugya called Eidav Bachasumav Zachinlal. This is a machlokas in Bav Metzia. There's a sheet that says, when Eidav signed a shtar, by signing the shtar, there's zoche on behalf of whoever the shtar is for. Meaning, if I write and have signed a shtar that I owe Isaac a million shekel, the Edom are zoche the million shekel for him by their signing. Now, obviously by Gittin, you can't say she's divorced when they sign, but what he's saying is you can separate the moment of the get from the isser of the get. She's not divorced, she's not what Torah is called Adam Til Nesina. But the moment of the get can be separated, and once the Edom sign, there's Zocha on the momentus on behalf of the wife, and she gets her payrus back. Right, what's the Chiddush?
the Kiddush is that you separate the mamon of get from the heter of get. Clearly, there's no heter until he gives it to her, but nonetheless, Eidu b'chasum and zochel and tzad mamon. It's a big hakira of what it means, Eidu b'chasum and zochelo. Happened to Eidu by signing b'zochel on his behalf. Without getting into it, the one way to explain it is that, no, it's mamash zochel and shol b'fanim. It's like they're being koned on his behalf, even though it's funny, we're not sure what Maisa Kinyan they're doing. Somehow, you call them doing a Maisa Kinyan and they're koned on his behalf and zochel and shol b'fanim. The other possibility is, no, it has to do with the unique nature of shtaros. When they sign a shtar, they create a certain reality of the aegis of the shtar, and the reality of the aegis of the shtar takes on a life of its own and creates the chalos, even without the person being involved. Okay, Eidu b'chasum zachlo. So basically, it could be similar to Reb Shimon, or it could be a different yesod than Reb Shimon. Okay, now I just want to point out that you could take this, and you could say if it's a different yesod from Reb Shimon, it might work differently. Although, that doesn't mean every nafkamina would be different. Even if it's the same yesod, it might work differently because it's a stronger version of that yesod. Go back to this chakira, maybe go back to this chakira and say tzvei dinim. Maybe you could. If I didn't have a risho to base myself on, I would say, why am I making things up? But maybe you could say there is some sort of tzvei dinim here. What is the tzvei dinim? Maybe you could say there's tzvei dinim. Ksiva versus nesina. Ksiva emo peros mitzad the inner psychological state. The ksiva is only going milsa how he feels inside. But the chasima, no, that's already a formal process. Certainly according to the Rid, Eidu b'chasum v'zachelo. What do you mean? Eidu b'chasum v'zachelo is like a zachus, it's a kinyan. That's a formal process. And even if you just say it's a stronger version of the sinas ayin, maybe it's such a stronger version that we say, no, the ksiva is not already a gerushin, but the chasima, you've created a chaloshtar. This is no, the formal power of the chalos edoshtar, that already is a formal mafkia. Why would I say this tzvedinim? Because the funny psak of the Ritva, and with this we will have to end before starting today's year. Because what does the Ritva say? The Ritva, there's the end of the Korah sheet, on Daf, on the very end of Daf Yom Chesem and Aleph, he says, back to this Nafkamina, he wrote it, then he changed his mind, decided to stay married, then he changed his mind and divorced again. What does the Ritva say? He says, I think this is Shitat HaRitva. Sof Daf Yud Ches Amin Aleph. Because what does the Ritva say? Because the Ritva says, and with this we will end, in the case where Kasav v'nimlach v'nispayes v'shuv nimlach v'girish. When does he lose peros? Says the Ritva, if he only wrote the get, then yeshlo peros ad shas nesina. But if he signed the get, obviously I mean he signed, he had the get signed, then avad peros lemafreya mishas chasima. Here he brings an interesting chiluk. If he wrote the get and then changed his mind again and divorced her, he keeps the peros till shas nesina. But if he signed the get and then changed his mind, it was about to rip it up, and then a month later changed his mind, decides to divorce her, he loses the peros lemafreya mishas chasima. Why would there be a difference? Why would it be that if he signed it, now unless, it's good. If he signed it, he'd lose the peros lemafreya. But if he wrote it, he doesn't lose the peros lemafreya. And this is lefi Reb Shimon, of course, that you lose the peros mishas chasima. Right? Lefi Reb Shimon. Right? Don't tell me this is lefi the chachamim. And therefore, ksiva doesn't do anything. The difference is clear. Ksiva is just an inner mental state. He was mavata that mental state by being nispayus. Then he makes a new mental state and divorces her, so he only loses from the new mental state. But chasima is not because of the mental state. Chasima is because of the form of halos shtar. There's an eidos shtar here. There's eidos b'shtar here. It's kinyan nefri to some bez and tavi. Eidos b'chasum and zachalo, or even if not eidos b'chasum and zachalo, is a formal shtar. Chasima is the formal power of chasima. Therefore, even though he changes his mind and decides he loves her and wants to marry her forever, if in the end he gives her this get and divorces her, this has a formal
creation of a shtar b'shas nasima, and he loses mafreya. So I think the Ritva clearly, he sneaks it in here when no one's looking, this like three words at the end, but if you sign it's different. He's clearly saying it's Tzvedina, but this Chakir we had on the board here, there's a difference between Ksiva and Hasima, which works very well according to Tosos Rit, but could be true according to everyone. Maybe they could say, they call it Masanin and Garsha, but they mean different things. Okay, with this we will have to stop, and we will continue Amir Tzashem on Thursday, and on Thursday we'll go through very, very briefly Makor Sheet 36, and then we'll start getting into the fascinating question of what this pious is all about. I know we saw one pshat, but we'll see all the different pshatim and make Joel happy. So to be continued.